Good evening. How are you all doing? It's Hanukkah evening and Shabbat. I have to apologize for Hannah before starting my podcast. Because of the technical issues, Hannah couldn't produce and post this podcast episode on time. At the same time, Hannah has a sincere gratitude to Rabbi Levine for coming to my podcast during this busy season. I asked him to talk about this year's Hanukkah for the Jewish people, Israel. Then I also asked him to explain for the Japanese audience. He talked about the story of Chiyune Sugihara, which is relatable for the Japanese people. Beyond religion, I hope that there will be more deeper relationship with Israel. Penna prays for the peace in Israel and the Middle East. She's posting the link of the first episode with him, so please listen to both stories. Hanukkah's important essence is hope, joy, family, good relationship, brightness, and future. It's a memory for the Jewish people as well. Since Rabbi Levine had evening prayer, he had to leave in 30 minutes, but please listen to his story. Today, I'm going to tell for Hannah. Please listen to Hannah's dialogue with Rabbi Levine.
Good afternoon.
Good.
So, in Fukuoka, it's the southern part of Japan. It hasn't snowed yet. I think that, in your area, it's very cold already.
Very cold, yes.
Yeah.
Cold and snowed a lot already so far.
Really?
Brilliant.
It's probably one of the coldest areas, as far as I remember, in the United States.
Chicago, it's cold. I mean, Canada gets a lot colder,
Oh, yes.
but and Europe parts of, but it's quite cold. Yes.
Yeah. So, the first episode of your our podcast, I thought, it was you brought a lot of relatable stories for the Japanese people to think about the Jewish people. It's not, about somewhere else's people, but there are Jewish people also in Japan, and it's Hanukkah season, and it's very important. But I think that I was interested in the meaning of Am Echad. It's like one person, people, right? I mean,
Yeah, so huh? You asked if I was a rabbi of Congregation Amakad in California.
Yes.
I was a rabbi of Amakad. I was actually part of a couple of times missions to the land of Israel called the Amakad Mission. The Amakad is a biblical term, and it we're one people, we're one nation. It's actually a big Jewish concept that the Jewish people are one. We care about each other. So if a Jew is suffering in Iran, it bothers me. We're many biologically, albeit we don't proselytize, we don't look to convert, but some could always convert into Judaism. They're 100% Jewish. They do that. It's a real conversion. But the Jewish people view themselves as one nation, and our past is one, our present is one, and our future is one. And so, for example, the congregation I headed in California, and in Silicon Valley, not too far, a lot of flights going out from San Francisco, San Jose to Japan, was called Amakad. And it's really that concept because there in Silicon Valley, it's a meeting place of different people. There are Jews from Israel, there are Jews from France, there are Jews from obviously America. I actually had a family that spent many years in Japan in my synagogue. And yet, we all are together. No difference in race, no difference. It's all. We're one nation with one focus, with one goal. Now, not all Jews have the knowledge like that. But that's the concept. It's found in both the book of Genesis, that term Amakad. It's also found in the book of Esther.
Sorry, I may I, I'm sorry I read it wrong, but I was well, if I look it up, it's always, I don't have opportunity to pronounce much, but I was very interested in the meaning of the words, and I was thinking about it a lot, And and so yeah, I was very interested in the concept and also wanted to ask you.
The word is Am, is nation. Like Am Yisrael Chai, the nation of Israel is Am, is a nation. And Echad means one, like Jews say Shema. You ever heard the term Shema? And the last word of the Shema is Echad, one. We recognize as one God in the world. So in this case, it's one nation.
I see. Well, I don't know why, but I really meet a lot of American Jewish people. I'm not sure if I told you, but the first person I, as a Jewish whom I met was, a medical professor from Pennsylvania State University, and he was already retired when I met him. But he was so graceful, so graceful, and he actually wrote a book with a Japanese professor about hospice care, the terminal care. And so, and that was when I was 2 years old, and I don't remember. But he probably remembers me all the time, and I just cannot forget the warmth of probably, how much I embrace to this day. And I think that the personal relationship, is something that we have to really cherish. And and the Jewish people have, I think that, brought Japan a lot, after World War II,
Right.
you told me about the, people who have survived through Junichi Suihara's visa.
Some of my teachers in my youth went through Kobe, Japan as a result of Sugihara.
Oh, so, I heard your story. Your family's story.
Right.
It was so tragic, and I don't have words, to say something, just to comfort you in a sense, and but I really appreciate you for telling me, your family's story, and also it means, to me a lot because, it makes me think, why, Jewish people have been thriving. I think that, there have been anti-Semitism, and, I want to ask you about this too, like later, but, anti-Semitism in Europe, I doubt my eyes because in my area it's very quiet. Okay. Even in Japan, in Tokyo, I see the video clips of unbelievable, just things going on. And, I don't understand all the screamings, all the anti-Semitic, propaganda that was thrown at, the Jewish people. And, so, one thing, the first thing I would say, this is not, treating people in such a manner. I cannot even imagine because it's terrible. And, one of the reasons why I felt, UNRWA is a terrible organization is because they wanted to exterminate Israel. And it's not just by that word. Right. And so, so this is Hanukkah season, and I want to, ask you something very positive. So, do you have a message, as a rabbi, to the Jewish people, what this year's Hanukkah means? Probably, and also maybe to the non-Jewish people in Japan, because I will be adding subtitles in Japanese.
Great, because I don't speak Japanese, not yet. So,
Mm-hmm.
so first of all, thank you. I think actually what you just mentioned is a great segue. You know, we spoke last time about the grandchild of four Polish Holocaust survivors. I'm named after my two great grandfathers, and I mean, really, hundreds of relatives were killed. And my grandparents, like my mother's parents, were second marriage. Their first spouse were murdered, and yet my grandmother, who passed away at the age of 105, she said something to me all the time. She said, "Thank God for every day." She was always hopeful. I'd say the first message of Hanukkah is, Jews live in hope. In the world, hope means you can always make better. You can always do better. The world, you're not stuck. The light of Hanukkah, I'll talk about Hanukkah in a moment, is the light of spirituality, and the light of spirituality means there's always hope. So my grandmother, this grandmother would tell me, "Thank God for every day." It was a positive person. And that's why, even with all the horrors of the Holocaust, I was fortunate to grow up very happy and very positive. She was positive, and there was always hope. And that's why she rebuilt her life. She had, look at that grandmother, 10 years of her life, 10 years of the prime of life. She, 1939, the war starts, she loses everything. And she, in 1949, 1950, almost a little bit over 10 years later, she comes to America after 6 years of the Holocaust, 4 years in DP camps, displaced person camps, doesn't know the language, doesn't have jobs, doesn't have family, had the horrors of the Holocaust, and starts her life over. There's always hope. And Hanukkah is as follows. The Jews celebrate Hanukkah for 8 days. 8 days. Why 8 days? Because very famously, Alexander the Great conquers the entire what was then the main parts of European civilization, going all the way deep into Asia, into India, from going all the way from Greece, Turkey, all that, going down Egypt, obviously, and that going that way the Ptolemies were in Egypt. And Alexander himself had positive relations with the Jews, had religious tolerance. There was an accommodation made for the Jews. In fact, Jerusalem he spared. Jewish tradition, both in the Talmud as well as in the Book of Josephus and other places, says that Alexander had a dream before he was attacked to Jerusalem. It's a fact, by the way. Alexander did not conquer Jerusalem. It was a peaceful existence. There's no problems. But the story is that Alexander had a dream. When he came to Jerusalem, he said he had dreams consistently of before his victories of a certain figure. He couldn't figure out who it was. And when he came to Jerusalem and he met the high priest, it was that person. So he did not, even though the Samaritans said he did not conquer Jerusalem, the Jews that year gave all the boys the name Alexander. So Alexander comes into the Jewish world as a name, Sender Alexander. And it was relatively peaceful. The Greeks were a dominant culture. They did what they wanted, which was idolatry, Zeus, Mars, etc. And the Jews worshipped one God, did our service, and no, there was no real serious conflict. There's a conflict of cultures, but not a threat. When Alexander dies or is poisoned, approximately the year 322 BCE, the kingdom splits. The Greeks split into three kingdoms. The largest, most one of the arguably the most powerful was the Seleucids. They took the whole Middle East right off. They conquered the Ptolemies in Egypt, and they, after a while, had a king called Antiochus Epiphanes IV, who was intolerant, who was a dictator, and basically his goal was to destroy not the Jews, but Judaism. He wanted, like today, people, we talked this last time. There are anti-Zionists who don't hate the Jews. They just want to destroy Israel, or they want to destroy people who are pro-Jewish for them. Well, the Greeks were not Nazis. The Greeks, those Greeks under Antiochus, wanted to destroy Jewish values. They wanted Jews to focus on the physical body that Greece was famous for, on the externals, not the spirit, to be idolaters. Like, you could keep it, we have some Jewish customs and culture, but the idea was that you would be antagonists. This was supposed to be off. Hopefully, it's not. There's always some kind of thing that comes up. The Greeks really try to come against everything in that sense. And at a certain point, it got worse and worse as they saw the Jews were not assimilating. This is not for right now, but if you look, Jews that are connected or observant don't assimilate. Jews who have no knowledge, just sorry. That's always a little bug in the faith system. Jews that have no knowledge very often could assimilate because they don't have a background. So even then, in the time of the Greeks, there were Jews who joined the Greeks. Now, people today ask me all the time, I don't want to get this for the moment, how could it be that Bernie Sanders or Norman Finkelstein or Chomsky, these people are with our enemies? I tell them it's not a new thing. There have been Jews who joined their enemies for, going way back. And in the time of the Greeks, there were Jews who were on the Greek side. And at a certain point, the Greeks pushed the line. What was the line they pushed? They put an idol of Zeus on the Temple Mount. They profaned the temples at the time of the Second Temple, not the First Temple. And they were forcing Jewish girls before the night before they got married to spend the night with the Greek generals. And a bunch of Kohanim priests under Jochanan, who is the high priest, and his sons, Judah the Maccabee, they revolted. And when they revolted, it was guerrilla warfare. It was a few Jews. I'm going to give an example. I'll pick an Asian example. It would be the equivalent of Hong Kong taking on China and Russia together. They were unarmed. There were a few people. And they started as guerrilla warfare. And Hong Kong or Singapore, pick whatever you want, they conquered China and Russia. It was a miracle. Actually, at one point, West Point was studying the books of the Maccabees to look at, those are not codified in Jewish books, to see how you do guerrilla warfare and the theory of it. And the Jews had a miraculous victory that the revolt started in the year 167 BCE. The idol of Zeus went up to 168 BCE. The revolt starts in 167 BCE. And in 165 BCE, the Jewish people took back the Temple Mount, Jerusalem. The war would go on for another 25 years, but they reconquered the temple, and eventually the Greeks would lose, and they would give the Jews their religious freedom, their autonomy. In America, they call it First Amendment rights to live as Jews, and we were successful. But here's the but: we don't celebrate the military victory. The military victory, by the way, was temporary because a couple hundred years later, the Jewish people would lose to the Romans. And yet, 2,200 years later, starting the Sunday night for 8 nights, we celebrate Hanukkah. Why do we celebrate Hanukkah? Because there was a second miracle that happened on Hanukkah. When the Jewish people reconquered Jerusalem, they wanted to relight the menorah. The menorah represents the light of wisdom, the light of hope, the light of Hashem, of God. And there were all kinds of laws of purity to light the menorah, and they couldn't find the oil. And they ended up finding only one. I mean, if the oil was used for idolatry, I think that's why it was not usable for the service in the temple, in the base of English. They ended up finding one little jug of oil, which could have only lasted one night. And instead, it lasted for eight. And what we celebrate is that miracle. Of course, the military victory is mentioned, but without the military victory, we wouldn't have the miracle of the oil. What the miracle of the oil represents is that the spirit, that God, if you're with God, you can conquer all. And that God's still with us even today. And by the way, all of Jewish history revolves around this. And the reason Jews light menorahs is to remind us that the spirit overcomes the physical. That's interesting. And I said, we lost our independence after the Romans. Okay. And yet we all celebrate Hanukkah because of that miracle. And that, we started, you mentioned the Holocaust, but it was other countries. It was in Spain during the Inquisition. It was in Ukraine during the Khmelnytskyi massacres.
Oh my goodness, yeah.
Each people are a nation of spirit and we're a nation of hope. And by the way, as long this is universal, when people connect to God and they have hope, you can always change the world around you. And Hanukkah really represents that. People think might make equals right. And the Greeks believe, right? The Greeks were, by the way, it's interesting, a lot of Greek philosophy and theology, especially at that time, was something called tragedy, the Greek tragedy. And Judaism, Yiddishkeit, is always about hope. Even the idea of a Messiah, the Jewish idea, Mashiach, Messiah, is the world could change for the better. There's always positivity. So we're lighting menorah, there's always hope. So the past couple of years, you mentioned anti-Semitism, certainly have been challenging, but there will be a better tomorrow, and it is going to go with and menorah represents that. So it's really appropriate that we start with that segue in.
I when I see, the Jewish people's reactions to the anti-Semites, I don't know. I have asked about this to some of my friends, like in Texas and other, very conservative areas. So, they don't see such people, but they can't go to the downtown area because they're too scared, they're saying. So,
I mean, listen, I wouldn't walk into in any dangerous area. There's dangerous areas around the world. You don't go anywhere. Unfortunately, there are certain areas which they call it fighting against Israel, but they're anti-Semitic. It's filled with anti. I've been stopped by people, free Palestine, whatever. And I don't
Really?
mind you. Sure, absolutely. I wouldn't call it a common occurrence, but it happened. It doesn't bother me. But I wouldn't want to go to a situation where there's lots of people who'll be unruly and be dangerous. Words make a difference, and end of the day, unfortunately, there are bad characters who get carried away. Many of these people are totally ignorant, and some of them, though, are not ignorant. They're ideological. They're jihadists. It's amazing to me how the Western media, not only the narrative about Israel is terrible and false, but the failure to report about jihadists in Sudan, in Nigeria, who are killing Christians left and right. It was going on in large parts of the Middle East, in Syria, where the Druze and Christians and even Sunnis who are under Assad, but today they're the minority, are getting killed just for who they are. But the New York Times doesn't think it's worthy enough to report. Or if they do, it's page 47. Some Jew lights a barn in the West Bank for front page news because that is what that sells for them. But obviously, I would be concerned if somebody has a radical idea. So there are many Muslims who do not, but there are some that do. And those people that could certainly be dangerous.
In Japan, I'm sorry that I just go back and forth Japan and the
Oh,
United
sure.
States, but when I think of anti-Semitism, I talk about it, people from Israel because I have welcomed some people, to dinner, not at my house, but I had to go to Kyoto or some other areas, but in some cases, I try to be careful and just, ask, the restaurant owners, just please let them in before, being stopped or something like that. Because there was an occasion, to, ask question, okay, at the hotel, the guest house in Japan, to sign a document as against the Israeli people, whether it was, whether they have committed war crimes or not. That's something they don't have to answer, okay? They can leave the house and just ask for the refund for no because it's against human rights, basically.
Yeah.
And
No, doesn't Japan have an insurgency also? The Philippines, though. The Philippines is, at the end of the day, these people are not only anti-Semites, they're fools. People that Israel are fighting against, if they would have a beachhead in Japan or Europe or anywhere they are, they will kill them no less, right? You're empowering evil people. Now, as far as I'm concerned, As I said, I'm hopeful for the future. There may be a bumpy ride, but the future is bright. Those who join the sides of darkness, I feel bad for them. They might smile today, but they're going to cry tomorrow. And Jewish history, by the way, is a great indication. Go study Jewish history. Look at all those, whether the Nazis, the Spain, go back. They're the ones, they ultimately pay the price. And you mentioned Europe. Yeah, I feel bad for parts of Europe. They're losing not only their culture, they're going to lose their country sooner or later. And it's their own fault.
It can't be Japan, I'm sorry.
Huh?
No Ura camp, for example, for Japan, okay? I think freedom of religion is a nature of Japan. And that's a core foundation that Japan has cherished since after, especially after 1945, Japan lost the war, and so, but my opinion was that, the proud part that I had was that, the Japanese people welcomed the Jewish people even during the war. Junesu Ihara, he welcomed the Jewish people. And so, that was something I always had as a proud, pride in my heart. I think
You're a
that,
pride.
I think, I still think that, the Jewish people should have freedom rights to practice their religion or at the same time share the culture with Japan. I think that it brings a lot of goodness and hope,
Light.
and light. Yes. I really think, I really thought, it really started to think of why there was a miracle in Russo-Japan War, and I think, I really believe that, the Jewish people have, helped us. That's an important
Sure.
factor.
Jacob Schiff, who was a Jew in America, bankrolled Japan for that war. He helped financially. That's why that Japan had an upset war in 1905. There were people who invested in Japan. Happens to you got a great new prime minister right now. The new prime minister, this lady who just voted in, I think is pretty philo-Semitic, and pro-Israel as well.
Oh, really?
That
Oh,
correct?
Prime Minister Takaichi. Yes. I
I
was supporting her from before the election because she had a very strong position of, maintaining culture of Japan. She was, she's not against, the immigration. However, she's also understanding towards Israel because, Israel is a nation. For it's a Jewish state. She understands the history. She understands its nature very well. So I felt that, she has to be
She is?
the
I
prime
will say, actually, as far as standing for something, and this goes back to Hanukkah as well,
is.
there's a line, those who stand for nothing fall for anything. So if you don't believe in something, so for the Jews, obviously those Jews who understand what their purpose is in this world, they're the ones who fight in Hanukkah. They're the ones who stand for Hanukkah. And unfortunately, those Jews who don't know or don't care what their purpose, they'll join the Greeks, or they'll join Mamdani in New York today, or they'll join the communists in Russia 100 years ago because they don't stand for anything. They don't have that. But the Western world today, if you ask a big threat, I mean, Japan's a little bit different, but if you're in Europe and parts of America, those who are joining the forces against Israel, the forces against their own countries, stands for nothing. So they buy into every craziness, every woke, every nutty thing in the world. And today, so part of that is being anti-Israel. And they're the losers because they're the ones who are going to lose out on who they are and on truth and on everything that's good. And unfortunately, there's going to be damage control before that day of light truly comes. But, it's like ridiculous to you have people whose whole lifestyle would never fit into Gaza. They'd be killed if we walked there. And they're like, Gaza, like, are they out of their minds? Do you know what the Hamas believes in? They believe in nothing. What you They don't believe in freedom of religion. They don't believe in freedom of liberty. Nothing. Their own people they persecute. So.
Yes, I think that, Japan is really a culture of Shintoism. And,
Right.
it became a religion, but in a sense, I think it is a religion. But at the same time, it has developed through, it's very different from, the Judaism, but Shintoism has developed through, by the nature of the landscape, and also by the nature of the climate. Also, at the, it was very local as a religion. It's very mysterious regarding how it originated.
Right.
It has lasted for thousands of years, but I think people are free to visit shrines and worship in a manner that they are supposed to. So it's not about exactly, Japan is now criticizing, people who've scribbled, at the gate of the shrine, or, who kicked the shrine. Those people. However, we do not stop people from visiting any shrine if they are willing to come, bring positivity. And also, it the prayers are like, very maybe wishful, just thinking of goodness in case of Japan. So I thought that there are a lot of people who say, probably if I asked questions, do you know what's going on in Israel? They say, there's a war. But they don't want to say that in public either. They don't like that kind of talks. So I really wonder, this 30 to 10%, okay, of the people who are screaming around, about the like anti-Semitic terms. And I heard a video clip when the foreign minister of Israel visited Japan, and it really sounds like it was imported. There were non-Japanese people sound, speaking Japanese against, like chanting Japanese something, and we were I was talking on social media about, who they are. And many people say they're not Japanese. I really, really think that it's ridiculous to even think that there are such people. And I really, they don't know about the, I in the first place, they don't know about the relationship between the Jewish people and Japan. Way before, the after Meiji Restoration, Japan was trying to develop into the modern nation, and the Jewish people brought hope, and won the war, of invasion from Russia. And also at the same time, when I faced the Jewish people, what I see is the peacefulness. And at the same time, what I see is probably some brightness that I really feel. And yes, I so I you're when so there's no reason why I felt about this because I was really little. This is something that goes back for a long time, but I don't think that I can lose that values ever, probably. But I believe that the Jewish people are very peaceful, and at the same time very, try to speak to people in a positive way, as you mentioned, and even in difficult situations. So I
Back
really
then, our greeting is shalom. Shalom means peace. The highest thing is peace. When we finish our daily prayers, it's a prayer for peace. Sometimes, in order to have peace, you have to defend yourself. But the goal is peace.
Oh, but like when we greet, the shalom is the first word, right?
Right, which means peace.
The first word I learned, shalom. I wonder, why it became a greeting for the Jewish people, because I'm very interested in such,
Well, the
historical
concept is
impact. Yes.
Shalom is the name of God, so to speak, the minor and one God, one of the names we refer to. But on top of that, things that we wish to spread the that light, right? That hope. The greatest light and hope is to peace. If you have a sense of personal peace, of communal peace, that itself brings the greatest blessing. If you have all of the material success and you don't have peace, you're lacking. So you always hope to share that. I just gotta tell you, I have 5 minutes of a hard stop because I have afternoon prayers. It's actually the sunsets. You pray in five, I gotta pray, we call it minute call. I gotta.
The last question would be then, do you have personal message to non-Jewish people? Because it's, I think I need to also write this too about this. And if you could explain that and also talk about it, that would
Personal message about which topic?
non-Jewish people.
So on Hanukkah
That's
light,
about Hanukkah.
Hanukkah. Okay, so I would say for the universal message, of course, I mentioned, which is just our peace and light and hope. But I would just, finish. I guess there are many things you could talk about. If I didn't have this printout, there's many topics. But the spirit. We live in a world. The Greek world was a world of Hellenism, of physical beauty, of might. If you were Sparta, which defeated Athens 16 years before Alexander the Great, if you would let their children die, it was all about military power. And Athens was all about here in the moment. One of the greatest, not the, one of the greatest countries of Judaism to the world, which Hanukkah represents, is this power of spirit. Whoever you are and wherever you are, it's the belief in God, the belief in the if it's the Torah, the Jewish book of the Bible, starts with God creating it and giving, imbuing life. All of us are in the divine image. And by the way, that's all human beings, irrelevant of who you are, your religion. So you believe in the power of every human being, because we're all in the image of God, but also for all of ourselves. It's not about the car and the jacket and the house. There's something deeper in life. There's something more spiritual in life. And that. The light of Hanukkah also represents the light of the soul, the light of our spirit. And to the extent all of us tap into that, we're better for it. And on one last closing part, we talked about Shalom, we talked about Hanukkah. The Torah says, the Jewish Bible says, those who bless the Jewish people get blessed, those who are friends get blessed. History really shows us that reality. So, Hannah, I want to thank you for your friendship. You should be blessed. All of your viewers
I feel
should,
blessed.
you should have get get the blessing, and we should all be together for peaceful and happy occasions. And we all hope for a better tomorrow for all of us. And with people like yourself spreading these kind of messages, you certainly are helping the cause. So thank you.
Oh, it's always my pleasure. And I'm very thankful that you took this time during the busy season.
Yes, very
I
busy.
asked you about, what, are you going to please, could you give, Chris, a not Hanukkah message? Then, I was very thankful. And, I am truly thankful that, you came to my podcast today. It's 11, 11th, 12th.
Yeah, hello.
I'm very sorry.
No, it's the case. Our Hanukkah starts Sunday night, so it was a good time to do it.
Okay, great. I'm going to air this today, and of course, I would like to explain in Japanese as well. And also, I will add the first episode because it had a lot.
Beautiful. You'll share with me, please. Close this off. I really need to run because the sun is setting. That means I'm gonna go
Okay.
play. Thank
Okay.
you, Anna. Stay tuned when it's ready, okay?
Okay. Have a nice day.
Thank you.